Blog Talk Radio.
Why, hello there. My name is Stuart Thompson. Welcome to Personal Transformation. It's been a little bit since I've been back here. I apologize for my last episode. It should be the very first thing I should say because I had Danielle on here, and we had a live broadcast, which I was doing from the gatehouse. And, of course, well, you know, being technology as it is, it fails. But, folks, I'm back, and I'm privileged to have Nicola here beside me as well. Hello, Nicola.
Hello, how are we today?
Not too bad at all. It's kind of nice to be back on here. I've been talking about it, and just life's been so, well, say it's been kind of busy and kind of crazy.
Sure has.
And for you as well, hasn't
mm-hmm.
it?
Absolutely.
So it's been kind of hard to get back here and back to basics, as I would like to say, regarding to personal transformation. My recovery journey, as I've talked about for the last 5 years, and still doing so. Through the gatehouse, and that's where I've been doing my healing. But anyway, folks, I can't apologize for enough for my technical difficulties two weeks ago from Danielle. But anyway, I'm back, and I've already talked to her, and she's agreed to come back, and I've replaced the equipment that failed on me for the last time. At least I hope it should be all right this time around. In fact, even this time, Nicola and I should say, actually, we're not even now in the gatehouse right now. Actually, we're kind of cheating. We're sitting right here in the comfort of our own home, doing this show right here now, which is broadcasting live. And you can listen to it later on. That's the beautiful thing about it. And we really didn't tell anybody. We're just doing it. And it'll be there. So we'll talk about it later on. And probably, I guess we should probably let people know about it, which we didn't do.
Oh, well.
Yeah, well. But anyway, folks, we are here. Just to let you know that I'm still doing this beautiful thing that we're doing, talking about childhood sexual abuse and recovery, and all the other aspects around it, everything from addictions to angers, the fears, the healing process. God, there's so many different things I could go on and talk about regarding my healing process and Nicola's healing process and so many others going through. But today I just would like to talk about, and again, I can't thank Nicola for being here beside me, but I want to talk about all the stuff that's been going on. There's been so much going on. The last time I was on, we just finished our, actually, I had Danielle on, and we were done some stuff, and we were talking about the healing of the voice within conference that just happened.
Yes.
And, unfortunately, we missed it, we missed our conversation about that, which we'll talk about it when Danielle comes back about it the next time. But nevertheless, Nick and I were there, and
yes.
What did you think this year? But, like, there's a lot of wild, crazy things going on, if I can put it in that term. What I mean by that is I'm talking about wild, crazy art.
Well, first of all, I would like to thank Art and Lacey. Lacey Ford for setting up this fundraiser in the first place. She does a lot of really great work. And, you know, she's quite a young lady, so
yeah.
I really admire that, you know, she's the younger... Yeah, exactly, commitment at such a nice, vital age. But also for Art for setting up the house in the first place, for which, you know, this couldn't take place if it wasn't for him. So humbly grateful to Arthur Lockhart, for setting up the gatehouse in the first place. But yeah, it was a good night. And, well, being that I'm a yoga teacher, whatever you want to call me, it was kind of nice to see the dancing, and it was male dancers, not female, which is so normally,
not from this culture,
sexualized, if I might say that, because they are sexualized, I think, normally, female dancers. So it was kind of nice to see the males getting a better rap. And, you know, I did pretty good, and they were up there smiling, and, you know, it was a nice kind of the Indian cultural being brought in to a healing modality, which is kind of nice to see.
And it was a happy dance.
It was a very happy dance. They were very happy dancers.
There was the drum song, although I don't know the exact name of it now, I don't remember, but shame on me. But nevertheless, it was very, 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 very empowering, too, just to see these Sikh men, which they are. This is part of the Sikh culture. I do know some things about it. I just don't remember the name of the dance off the top tip of my tongue. But nevertheless, this is part of the Sikh culture. And actually, I could even say, and if you are Canadian, you're listening to this, and if you're following to Canadian culture, I know that our defense minister is Sikh as well, and he's done this particular drum dance with our own armed forces. And as Jai Har Singh has done with our federal government as well, on the NDP side as well, appreciating the culture is what I'm trying to do. And just seeing these men do this, and the drums and all that, is very, very, very... Anyway, you have to go back to my Twitter feed. And actually, if you go to the gatehouse, you would probably find, us showing it there as well. From the, if you actually heard Google the Healing the Voice Within, it will give you all the details and show you pictures, not just of the artwork, and also a presentation of our guests that were there as well. We had several great honorable guests there as well, talking about the community and what's going on in regards to our law enforcement, for example, and government, which was still very, very interesting, to say the least.
Mm-hmm.
So we had a lot of really, really great guests, and there's some amazing art there, which
we had two live artists again. Was it two or three?
Three.
I miscounted, sorry. And again, I love what they created this year, and it was almost like one of the art pieces that they did, it pictured like the chandelier and then a person underneath the chandelier, and it looked very spiritual, which, as you know, speaks to me. So I kind of really liked that particular one. Oh, the others were excellent, but it was just nice that it created the whole government building incorporated into the art, which was kind of nice for the event itself. And they had some great prizes, which, of course, you won the coffee basket.
I won the coffee basket, which is very dear to my heart and my lips. And nevertheless, I was quite happy to get that, and also giving a donation back to the gatehouse as well. So this worked really, really well. They had some wonderful stuff there. They were they were auctioning off, and including the artwork as well.
Yeah.
I don't have the final tally on how much they made for the gatehouse, but I know it was a nice sum, and I don't know if it was greater than last year. I have no idea. So I don't have those values as of yet. But when I do, I will share it with the public as the gatehouse will.
Mm-hmm.
Now, like I said, we've been so busy. There's been so much going on. I know I've been busy with my job. I know Nicola's been busy with her yoga and her work and stuff. But Nicola's also started another group not long ago, too, as well.
Yes.
And you started a Phase 2 program with another facilitator.
Uh-huh.
And for those that are not familiar with the Phase 2 program of the Gatehouse, and this is another program after you've accomplished your first 15-week program, which is where it's, I hate to say that you use this word, but where you're segregated, where there's men and there's women, and there's two separate groups. And after you've done that, what we do is what we call the Phase 2 program, which I'm actually going to get Nicola to talk a little bit more about here in a second. But anyway, we incorporate both men and women in together. And again, this is a 16-week commitment on both parties to show up for this. But I'll let Nicola describe to you a little bit more about what it entails. And I'm going to throw this little tidbit in. It does involve transformation, and it does
Absolutely.
And it does involve great leaps and bounds in your recovery process of getting over this crap you've been through as a child and into adulthood to where you are now, and showing you that you can deal with it in most positive ways to help you get through that. So I'll let Nicola continue on with more about what I'm talking about. Thank you.
He does go a mile a minute, that one. Sorry, I sometimes struggle to get a word in, so here we go. Okay, here's my time. All right, so I started a Phase 2 with another facilitator, which at the Gatehouse for 16 weeks, which is, as Stuart mentioned, it is the co-ed. And we cover, week one's basically an introduction, so we cover like mindfulness, gratitude, psychosynthesis, and but really it's about your story, airing your story, your vital perceptions and false beliefs, and how we can rewrite that. So, you know, using mindfulness in how is it they say that we can rewire the brain as such, which, you know, there is a lot of evidence to support that in mindfulness, meditation, etc. So using, again, gratitude, understanding your transformation journey, and then like transformation, decision making, goal setting, you know, trying to make some meaning out of your journey. So essentially, going through the 16 weeks, we go a lot deeper into story, deeper into your healing journey, and giving you some tools that can help some of the negative behaviors and rewiring those negative behaviors and giving you some tools to turn that around. I know for me, when I did phase two for myself personally, as I was going through the programs in order to facilitate, I had quite a big realization. I don't call it triggers. It was a realization for me, the reason why I didn't really cry, or if I did cry, I'd go into the bathroom or I'd do it in private. And I actually allowed myself to cry amongst a group of seven other participants and two facilitators. So that was quite big for me in realizing why I held back. So it's quite the journey, because I know throughout 15 weeks of phase one, it did not phase me one bit, calling it phase one, so excuse the pun, but that was not supposed to be there. But allowing myself to actually cry in a safe space, you know, which the gatehouse is, was quite the eye-opener for me. So, and I guess you can relate.
Well, one of the things we often talk about is pause. When we talk about pause, what does pause mean?
Paying attention and bearing the sacred experiences.
Exactly, exactly. And that's the beautiful thing about this about this process.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, we also go over, like, sub-personalities. For people that haven't really come across that before, it's where, in order for the child to protect themselves, we can use different parts of our personality, which come out at different parts of our life, to kind of protect ourselves one, or put up some kind of wall or boundary. And it goes into some reflection on how those sub-personalities may act out for you. And I found for myself, I probably did have a couple. I know for myself, when I went into the public space, like, I don't know, if I went to a restaurant or somewhere where I would be actively in a group of people, which I never really felt comfortable with before, I would put on the humorous one or the loud one in order to protect myself. For me, it was an extra wall of protection to kind of show to the outside world that, oh, I'm the joker. You can't mess with me, kind of thing. Whereas now I feel I've changed quite substantially from that, in that more so now I have a better, safer boundary than being a jokey one, because I find a lot of the times if you are one of those people that kind of jokes around, people do tend to think you're a bit of a soft touch. Whereas I used to feel that if I was loud when I was in that space, I was more protected than if I was the quiet one. Whereas on more of a one-to-one basis, I don't really have to say too much. So now I find that I'm not that so loud, even though when I go bowling, I do get a little frustrated, so I might get a few F-bombs come out. But apart from that, I'm pretty centered for the most part and don't have to be the loudest in the room. So that's kind of reassuring for me. Other than that, we go through the introduction to the authentic self. And we have a few activities that we go through. It's more, we do give our participants homework, which is, they don't have to do. There is choice in that. And a lot of reflection on mindfulness, gratitude, coming back to the breath, what we use to pause, and really going through the different things and table of contents of what 16 weeks are all about. So there's a lot of background knowledge that has gone into this program, and it has been designed by therapist using CBT, so cognitive behavioral therapy, but it is all peer support, so really survivor-based peer support programs where we aren't therapists. We're just there to hold a safe space and to help you on your journey. So
yeah, that's pretty much it, really. Yeah.
So I think I've pretty much covered everything. Yeah, so there you go.
That's awesome. So this is the second part of your journey. Now I'm going to talk a little bit about the first part of your journey, which I guess in essence we should have went 1-2, but we're going 2-1. So I'm starting a men's group, coming up in November, which I'm looking forward to, November the 13th, and it's going to be on Wednesday. So that's good. I'm going to be happy because I'm going to be down at the house more, which summer's been really hard for that because of my work schedule this year. But now that's starting to subside a bit, so I will be spending a lot more time down at the house. And one, hopefully with my show and my new studio, which is still in the horizon here, in the basement as well. So a lot of things going on and lots of stuff to be done. Lots of survivors, new people coming into the house and things going on. So I'm looking forward to spending more time there. But the Phase 1 group coming up for the men, as I pointed out prior to Nicola discussing about the Phase 2 program, is a 15-week program. And we have it both for men and women. Which is mandatory, you have to do before you can do the Phase 2 program that Nicola has talked about. But I'm glad that I did do it because I know originally when I went to the Gay House back in 2011, I did the 15-week program, and originally this program that Nicola was talking about was only 8 weeks. And then after about a year and a half or within 2 years of me being at the house, they started a Phase 2 program, which was, in other words, they just increased 8 weeks to 16 weeks, and which is greatly, greatly needed. Because when you're talking about things that you talk about for 15 weeks, you easily need another 15, 16 weeks to talk about and process what you've just talked about, if that makes any sense whatsoever. Because I know myself, when I was in there, the utterly mess that I was, that I had all these things I need to talk about, such as the anger, inner child, guilt, shame, trust. All those things I still need to talk about to a much more greater level and understanding, so that, well, one, first off, that, which obviously is about me understanding, well, where do I fit in with all this stuff? What does it even mean to me? Well, I know what anger and all those terms I've used to you mean, but how does it really reflect on me, and how does it make me act, and how do I act with myself and others, right? So it was very important going through these steps after I'd done the first 15 weeks, which I'm talking about, in order for me to transform to where I am today. Now, granted, even after the 16 weeks, I only did the program once, and I should clearly state this too as well. All participants go into the house. When you are doing any one of these programs, you're quite welcome to do it again. It's not about there's no judgment here or anything like that. It's wherever you feel comfortable. If you feel comfortable and you want to do the program 4 times, 3 times, it's not a big deal. It's whatever you feel good for you. It's whatever you feel right for yourself. It's what matters.
And it's all free, too.
For the most part, it's all free. Some of the programs now we're having to charge a little bit of money, but basically all the programs that we provide for participants coming to the house cost you a dime. Well, we are having to charge for some things, though, now, because you got to remember we are a nonprofit organization. We rely totally on the public and grants and donations just to survive. And keep in mind, we've been around for 21 years, so we've been working really, really hard doing this, to keep going and doing what we've been doing. And we've made programs better, and we've got more programs. So all this stuff, we got to do it. So, it costs $350,000 a year to run the house and all the programs.
Mm-hmm.
Right, so
we are now charging for the program manual, which, in all honesty,
$20.
I think they're 116 pages long.
Yeah.
So there's quite a substantial amount of information in
there.
Tools that you can use
to help yourself.
We encourage the neuroplasticity, we encourage mindfulness, we encourage meditation,
anything
that really helps you throughout your journey. So if that's yoga, if that's
art,
art, karate,
writing,
martial arts, whatever, writing, which we also do have a few writing workshops at the house too. Yeah.
We have a partners program, which we're involved in as well.
We do indeed. We run that with Jay and Caroline.
Yeah.
We have a group workshop. We have a memoir workshop, which is also the writing portion. Even the yoga workshop that I designed also has a writing element with it. So yeah, there's a lot that goes on, and then Pat's workshop called the Reconciliation Group. That's one that I would like to facilitate with too. I figure it would be a really amazing program. There's been tons of feedback on that one too. So next week we are talking at the Humber College game.
Yes, we are.
On Tuesday in Peter's classroom.
Yes, we are. Professor Peter Dawson.
Yes. So that's
I'm really honored too, because I've done this more on occasion. One thing I cannot say enough, and actually I just cut you off here, I really apologize.
Yeah.
I just realized that. But it is so...
I told you I couldn't get a word in.
God, and you know what? I should know better. Imagine somebody talking to me and I cut them off like that. How horrible.
You
sound
with my voice.
I sound with your voice. you know, speaking to the youth, as you know, it's so important.
Yeah.
And this is kind of
absolutely.
Start. And then if we're able to speak in the universities and the colleges, which we've been doing now for more than a little while now, is really, really important in advocating about what we're doing, not obviously just for the gatehouse as well, but for the whole cause of the problem regarding creating awareness out there that this
absolutely.
Stuff happens and everybody keeps their mouth shut about it.
Yeah. It's a very humbling experience. I mean, I've spoken at the college a few times now and also at the police college this year, which was my first time, for probably the most amount of people, because I mean, that was almost 100 people at that thing, wasn't it? But when I go to the college, it's very, very humbling, because not only do we normally have some of the students share experience or a friend of, I'll say, quite, with two little dittos on each side of friend of, because normally if a student, I mean, they're fairly young. Sometimes, you know, when people are that young or even at an older age, they might say a friend of mine was abused or went through this experience, just simply because they're too embarrassed themselves to come out that openly and vulnerably. So it's a way of them being able to speak about their experience, but not actually owning it themselves or being that vulnerable to own it themselves. So sometimes we get people saying it's somebody else when in fact it is their experience, and it may be their friend, we just don't know. So a lot of the times we will get approached before or after, and some of the students do share their own experience. Because it is the course that they do is like a social
Social justice, it is part of the social justice program, but it could be, well, Peter teaches social justice.
Yeah.
So, but there is other different types of classes that are incorporated. Like if you're a social worker, for example, you could be in this class, for example. People are going to be a social worker, or if you are part of the police foundation, this could be another component to it, along with other, many other components. But this is just one part of the social justice program.
Yeah.
That's part.
So it's an honor to be asked to speak at the college, which, you know, I normally really enjoy it. In fact, last time I only went there to watch, and then all of a sudden I got asked to talk. I'm like, oh, okay. But it was probably my best talk yet, because I didn't plan. Didn't overthink it.
There must have been 30 students there too. That was a big class.
Oh, easily, it was a big class.
It was a huge class, right?
Absolutely.
I love this college because some of the classrooms are actually the one we were in. They're like a big, huge auditorium.
They're staggered.
And actually, some of them even are really, really cool. It's the ones, the main colleges.
Yeah.
Some of the classrooms are set up like a courtroom. And this is really, really awesome too, because literally, if you are going to the justice program, or talk about anything else, this is part of it, and part of the experience and understanding of part of your job could involve going to court and understanding proceedings, whether you're going to court for, you know, for anything, violence, domestic violence, or child abuse, or kind of crazy things. This is where they learn how to do this stuff.
See, going on to court, too, that's something that I've recognized in the last couple of years whilst I've been doing the facilitation at the Gatehouse is I've recognised that more people that are in group now, especially in like the phase one, well, I'm seeing more and more people. I don't know if it's a trend or whether it's just coincidence, but I'm seeing more and more people share that they are going to court and, you know, it's not being thrown out and that, you know, charges are being laid down. So maybe we're seeing a small change. I mean, yes, we've got a long way to go, but I know going back to the UK, say, like, the Visible Girl, Visible Boy organisation in the UK now doing the Hoods Down campaign, I know it's almost, they share that experience, it's almost like almost every, I mean, probably not everyone, but I think it's more common in the UK that people do take their perpetrator to court. Whether those figures are good or bad, as in win, lose, whatever, but I noticed that there's more, there seems to be more encouragement, if that's the right word, that people do take their perpetrators to court, whereas in my day, when I came out, it was unheard of, really.
Well, yeah, well, it was still under the table.
There's still too much shame
too.
Around it
too
still, right? So that encouraged me to see that. And also, I noticed that the age range of, well, lead survivors that come to the house now seems to be getting younger, which, again, is encouraging
for
me.
And older.
Yeah, and also the more mature people also coming out because they feel more comfortable about it now because I guess having set the stage for people to talk, and we're seeing it huge on social media.
Huge.
The amount of people that share story and go deep into, you know, whatever. And, you know, whatever works for each individual person, and, you know, if you don't want to show your face, then that's okay too, and if you do, then all well and good, but,
I mean, I noticed, like, just to your point, there, exactly, I've noticed in the last year to 2 years, an immense amount of people at either end of the spectrum, for as far as people, over 50, like I am, 50 years holding it to yourself, and older, that are coming out about their childhood sexual abuse, and the younger, too, like I'm talking, like, below 30. Like, the numbers seem to be increasing for those two areas. I did a survey last year, and it was amazing, and one of my mistakes I made for the very last category was I should have made the age group, like, from 40 to 60, I should have made it higher. Because I had a lot of responses of people that were over 60 that have not even, you know, some of them had the courage to talk about it. You know, it's all very shame-based for people that don't understand. It's very, very shame-based. So, you know, it's very understandable why these people did not want to speak, you know, not feeling they had a safe place. And, you know, after holding your secret for 60 years, for heaven's sakes, you know, and not being able to trust anybody, right?
Yeah.
Go back to the other end of the spectrum. Here I am, I'm 15 years old, or 16 years of age, or even a little bit older, 18, I don't know, under 20 anyway, right? And I've been horribly sexually abused all my life until now, and then here I am, I'm supposed to just trust somebody and say all my shit and get some kind of healing and trust, but we're like, really, what's up with that? Right?
Yeah.
So I find that those two groups of people, rather those two ages at the other end of the spectrum, you know, I've been doing this for a little while now, and it's always seemed to be a constant, and, well, I shouldn't say, there are people under 30, but mostly people over 30 to 50.
Yeah, and, you know, what
comes
back to how the brain works, too, because you get passes at 32, 35, and the brain is more able to deal with shit like this, if you excuse my French, but it basically is shit, isn't it? But going back to, and for the audience, really, is when you first spoke about your abuse, how old were you? Like, when you first voiced it to someone, whether that be a girlfriend or...
Oh, geez, I was 20-something.
Yeah, I can relate. Cause
and I was shut down.
Yeah.
And she was abused as well, apparently.
Yeah.
Right? So, I think on both sides, I mean, at both our age at that time, you know, I'm thinking, like, you know, this is back in the... very early 80s, I'm talking about, right?
Yeah, I can relate, because I was probably 20, yeah, I was 27 because I was pregnant, and I voiced to my husband at that time. However, again, it was met with aggression, so I then felt like, because, I mean, obviously my perpetrator was my brother, as you know, and I felt then that, because one of the reasons why I never told my own parents was because I felt that my dad would probably have killed my brother, right? So, and I didn't want that guilt on my head, so I never spoke about it, A, because it was shameful anyway, and I didn't really understand it because I was so young. And I didn't want to also share it publicly because I didn't want it to happen again, even though it did, but didn't make any bloody difference. But yeah, so when I did come out about it, then my partner at that time wanted to kill him, so it wasn't really dealt with properly then until many years later, which was probably about 2010-11, when I shared my story with my parents, which is what I needed to do to get over and have a proper connection with my parents. I mean, understandably, they were in total shock, couldn't deal with it, and we did disconnect for 7 years, but luckily we were able to reconnect and reconciliate, which I am truly grateful for, because then 9 months after I lost my dad, and, you know, it was pretty gut-wrenching. So that was only last year, so it's still pretty early on, but, you know, live and let live, I guess.
Which sort of brings us up to this now. You know, when we talked about sharing our story, and we talked to how the Gatehouse has many different facets of getting your story out there if you have a hard time doing so. Like me talking about the art therapy, the phase two program, which I'm doing right now as well. I did the first part a few years ago, and here I am doing the second part now. Well, I'm just looking for more. I mean, I've never claimed that I was perfectly healed and I was okie dokie and, you know, life's all 100% bow cherries and all that kind of crap, because that's not really the truth of it. The truth of the matter is, life is a daily struggle. Even for someone like me, with all this healing, I still have daily struggles. You know, I'm far from what I was when I first started talking about this. I have to admit that, and I do not have some of the shit happening which I had then when I first started doing this journey. I certainly have great boundaries now. I'm not going to let anybody try to cross me on that path, I'll tell you. But anyway, nevertheless, it's been a journey, and it still is a journey. And my journey has gotten greater and grander because I get to share my experience with others going through the same thing, and they get to share their experience with me if they choose to do the same thing as well. So to me, all around, this has been one hell of a journey, and it keeps getting more beautiful as the time goes on. I keep meeting more other people. I mean, people around the world. Like, for example, mm-hmm. we're going to talk about some people right now that are doing some marvelous things in the UK right now.
Yeah.
And there's some of them what we're doing now, so they can really relate to what we're doing and vice versa.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, and really we don't have to say anything because they say it all. What I mean by that is people telling their stories.
Mm-hmm.
As we told our story, it's up to them. It's up to you to share your story. Obviously, you got to feel like you're in a safe place, but
yeah. They're
essentially doing the same thing we are.
Exactly, because really when it comes down to facilitation, we're basically just holding space, because when it comes down to it, you know, someone has to feel space. You know, it helps, I think, a little bit at first if we share a little bit of our story so that we show vulnerability, which is strength, in my opinion.
Kind of heated, I always say.
Yeah, and then naturally you form a certain degree of trust.
Mm.
And I think just being at the Gatehouse, there is that energy of trust, I believe, at the house, which for most people start to feel that trust as soon as they enter the room, really. And I've seen that so many times, even when I was running the drop-in for 6 months. People come in and they just want to get it out. It's like verbal diarrhea almost, but I know that's a horrible way to put it, but it really is. You just want to get that crap out, like, seriously. So for me, it's really... I mean, I know we're pretty talkative now, but when we're in group, I really don't have to say very much at all. In order for someone to feel safe, it is providing acknowledgement and really making sure it feels safe and they feel nurtured and, you know, they can move on through their journey. So But going back to boundaries, you really have, it's almost like he's got this invisible statement on his head that says, no is a full sentence.
Hey,
he really, no, because like, if you ask him a question, he just says no, you know, it's just no. And it's like, okay, I think that's a no. So I believe I have some way to go in creating that wall. So I'm still a little bit too soft, but I'm working on it.
Hang around, meet Kevin Walsh right away.
Yeah, that's a good example. Maybe
well,
I can soften his edges a little bit.
Anyway, folks, we're talking about Danny and Rose, and there's a couple of the names I haven't even put in here as well, and I don't want to be rude, but the other two gentlemen that are along with, they're helping them as well.
Yes.
Here, I don't even have it here in front of me. No disrespect, but anyway, Rosie, Danny, and the other gentlemen have started this amazing program. And actually, Nick and I were honored to Danny asked us to be part of this, the Hoods Down campaign. And you know, I think all those years that I've had my hood down and I wasn't able to speak and hear you guys are giving a safe place to do this. This is incredible.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so basically the Hoods Down campaign is literally sharing a video, survivors sharing their videos and along with a statement saying, I am a mum, I am a partner, I am an aunt, a cousin, you know, a victor, which is what I believe I am. I don't like to use the survivor as much. The victor is where I'm at. Either, whatever you want to call it. So, and it's basically a short video. I think ours is only like, I don't know, 5, 6, 7 seconds, whereby you have your hood up and then you turn around, take your hood down. For me, it was a nice big smile. And I don't know, for me, it was kind of like a freedom salute. So, because I actually do feel free now from the trauma. I mean, yeah, I talk about it, but I talk about it openly and freely. I show my face. I talk about it publicly. It is what it is. I can't change the past. I can only live in the now, and that's what I do for the most part. And when I get myself in that space sometimes that I do, I just tell myself, breathe. Nothing can hurt me in the now. Words of Eckhart Tolle. So there you go. So yes, they are... The lady and gentleman is Rosie from empowertheinvisible.co.uk. They are a peer support group based in the UK, in Leeds, I believe. Am I correct in saying? Yes, so Empower the Invisible. So they are heading the Hoods Down campaign with these short videos of survivors. Saying enough is enough, and, you know, it stops now. So we just wanted to put that out there. Rosie and Danny are, you know, the people that hold the peer support programs in that area. So yeah, they're a great bunch of people.
And we've had the opportunity of interviewing both Danny and Rosie previously, but if you go back to one of our episodes, you can hear their interview with us. One thing I should point out to you folks as well, if you are in the UK, they do have a peer support inquiry line, which is open from Monday to Friday from 9 a.m. until 5 p.m. And you can call 0161-2419-469. That's one number you can call. And I guess I think that's right. That'd be the main number, right?
Yeah.
And then if you can want to reach Rosie, you can reach her at 07895-731-529. And if you want to reach Danny, and I'm also going to come back and I'm going to read their email address to you as well, so you can reach them by email if you don't want to use the telephone. Danny, 07961-796-215. Jeez, there's no bloody area code here. I can't figure this out.
That is the area code.
Oh, but it's not this, well...
Yeah, well, it's a mobile area code.
Oh, that's what it is?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Okay. If you want to get a hold of Rosie by electronically, you can go rose at empower the invisible.co.uk. And if you want to get a hold of Daniel at empowertheinvisible.co.uk. And if you don't want to talk by phone, you can send an email to either of these two beautiful people, and they will help you out. So, folks, that's pretty awesome that they've got this link here,
mm-hmm.
and service here that you can make that call. And imagine,
yeah.
doing long distance in the UK, even on the internet, from one to the other.
Yeah, for the most part, as far as I know, unless they've changed it. Yeah, so they Empower the Invisible. I mean, it is empowering. In fact, their personal stories are empowering too, being that it's peer support recovery as well. But they're kind of stellar in the way that they share their story and what they do for their community and survivors really across the globe, I believe, because, you know, this is something that we are, you know, what by each individual person sharing their stories, we empower people across the globe, I believe. And in my experience, I don't know, since 2014, since I've been doing this, it's humbling, actually, how many people just contact you, even through social networking, and say, you know, by me myself sharing my story, how it's empowered people individually, which, you know, when this first started to happen was quite surprising for me. So, you know, never underestimate the power of your story, because it really is very impactful. And it helps other people to come out and talk about this stuff too. So what else do we have to talk about? Oh, there's another thing that just recently came up only yesterday, actually, with the Gay House, in that one of the ladies that was also a participant previously at the Gay House has set up a horse healing stroke yoga program, whereby, you know, they're using horse therapy too. So again, that's a free program, which already is totally booked out.
Wow.
So that's interesting.
Okay, I was just looking through the Gary Moore of Empowering the Invisible. I was just on their webpage and make sure I haven't missed anything. Again, I can't thank you two guys, you, Rosie, and Danny, enough for what you're doing.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, providing a safe place for other people to talk about their abuse.
Mm-hmm.
And you guys get it completely. And I'm also looking forward to, there's going to be, I kind of through the realm of social media or Twitter, we've been kind of going back and forth, and I want to hopefully get Danny and Rosie on here together, and it's really what I want to do. We've interviewed them apart, but I want to get them together, and we want them to talk about the Hoods Down campaign at a further depth than what we have, and what experiences they've been having, and I want to ask them more about like I can just imagine how exciting it must feel,
mm-hmm.
to be able to hold these places, to do this. For other survivors, and reacting again. So I'm just really looking forward to speaking with them again.
I mean, honestly, any of the people that have shared their videos or spoken at the event that they had before, absolutely amazing. I mean, they really are recovery champions. You know, Danny, when we initially set this up and the work that he was doing before, just amazing. And, you know, what, so down to earth, I can so relate. Totally relate to the experience. And Rosie, she's good as gold, as we say down in Devon, where I come from. it's kind of nice to be in a position where we do similar work, so we can talk to people that do similar work across the pond and, you know, share experiences. And eventually, when we go back to the UK, spring, summer of next year, or hopefully meet up with some of these people too. So that would be wonderful. So I'm looking forward to that. As well as seeing my family, but
apart from that. And I want to drink some old scotch and something like that.
No, I just want Devonshire clotted cream because they don't have it here.
Oh yeah, and I want to go to Scotland. I want to wear my kilt where it's really cold.
I hope it's not breezy.
I hope it is, because I have some good world.
Oh dear.
But anyway, folks, no, really, really looking forward to that. All kidding aside, I'm looking forward to for going over there and to our adventures, not only meeting people advocating and doing the same type of things we are, and I can't wait to really meet them in person and hear their experiences live versus electronically. There's something to be said about that, and we have the connection there already. So it was really nice to just to firm it up, as they say.
Absolutely.
And I'm looking forward to passing our experiences back and forth on how we do nothing, and other than like I said, right, which is really a beautiful thing. Again, I can't thank these guys for doing what they're doing, and the world should thank them too, as far as I'm concerned, for what they're offering, what they're doing. They've had some great news. They have the NHS now supporting them as now, right?
NHS, they do. That's amazing, absolutely amazing. So proud that they're, getting these really good established connections, because that will give them hopefully some financial backing for what they're doing. And to be able to continue to run these programs, because you know what, it takes money, it takes time, it takes effort, it's not easy. So you have to be a certain kind of person to do this. I mean, obviously you have to have empathy, but to be able to listen and just hold that space, because you have to be an amazing listener. It's a humbling experience for sure.
So anyway, folks, we have a great year coming up. I know I'm going to be busy at the house. Nothing's going to be busy at the house. I should say winter. We got to get through this winter.
Yeah. Right? Well, I'm writing a book, so.
Yeah, well, you'll be busy there. folks, I'm looking forward to more guests. I'm getting Daniela to come back again as well to redo this again, and she'll come back with her guitar. And it was such a beautiful program. It's what a shame. But I guess maybe in a sense I get to get two times the entertainment where you don't, having her come back and play her guitar.
She has the most amazing singing voice.
Oh, she does, and story as well.
She's beautiful. Honestly, she has such a beautiful voice, and she's such a lovely person. She facilitates at the house too.
So yes.
Absolutely. She actually sang at the Gatehouse Conference this year,
the trauma conference. Yes.
And she plays the guitar as well, doesn't she? And honestly, her voice is just like, it really touches you. It's beautiful, absolutely beautiful. Love her.
So along with Daniela, we will have some of the guests coming on. I'm certainly really have my attentions on getting some other professionals back on again. I'm going to try to get Robert back again. He is a male therapist and survivor as well. I'm still trying to make connection with him, but hopefully before the new year as well. I know.
We also have Elise in Australia, who's a psychologist.
Yes.
And she runs a healing centre in the outskirts of Adelaide. We'll be talking to her sometime when our schedule permits.
Exactly.
She's already agreed to come on the show. She's lovely.
And what we were going to be talking about, we're going to talk about suicide prevention is what we're going to be talking about when we talk with her.
Mm-hmm.
And yes, we will talk a little bit about childhood sexual abuse as well and recovery, but me being a trained person in suicide intervention, I was really keen on speaking with her because the SEPI program seems like a really, really nice, easy program to work with, not only in educating the youth, but the in-between and elder as well. So I really want to speak with her in depth about this and in regards to suicide intervention. Mm-hmm. And a really easy program, I want to talk about it. Like I say, being involved is what I do. We deal with it more often than we care to talk about, dealing with the heavy crap that we deal with, which is totally understandable, and never mind my own experiences.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, that's going to be a topic which we're going to be talking about in the future as well.
Yeah, because our program is actually already in Canada. It's in the health system.
Yes.
And she has got her SEMPI program in quite a number of major countries throughout the world.
Yeah.
And you know what? This was designed from, and I can relate to her experience, unfortunately, having gone through the disconnection with her child. She had a lot of spare time on her hands, and in her spare time when she wasn't working and volunteering and everything else, she put this SEMPI program together. So again, out of trauma can come some beauty, right? And it's nice to be able to see someone else with a similar mindset that uses their trauma to turn it around into something that can be created, which helps other people and can be quite beautiful. So, yeah, this is how she put this together from, I can't think of the word, when you disconnect with a child through, oh, parental alienation.
Yeah,
so that's what she went through, which I can relate to. So, yeah, through parental alienation, she put this program together, and that's how she used up her little bit of spare time that she did have and put this program together. And it is good, and it's simple, effective, and it's a wonderful tool you can use with almost any age. So, looking forward to that too.
So amongst other guests, it's going to be, I like to say, hopefully a year of new information and tools to help you help yourself is really the way I look at it, by having some of these professionals come on as well. And Elise is just another example. I spoke about Robert as well. I'll probably have Maria and Sabrai on again as well at some point, amongst some other guests that I kind of have in the back of my mind. I guess I'm still keen and excited because I'm waiting and wanting my new studio in the basement of the gatehouse, which is coming. But folks, and I also want to broadcast on multiple platforms. So I really want to increase my audience by going on many other channels as well and doing this. So I just need to get a little bit more organized, which I'm almost there, and that will be happening. I have one more thing I want to talk about. We have the 6th Annual Transformative Social Change Symposium coming up November 2nd at Humber College Lakeshore Campus, which is right where the gatehouse is, actually. And that will be from 9:30 till 3:30 p.m. On a Saturday. And there's no money to come in there and be part of this symposium. All we ask is for local food donations.
Mm-hmm.
And you can come and register on the same day, and it's going to be, so let me just get this off my phone here so I can tell you exactly, especially for the local listeners.
Pushy transformation, isn't it?
I'll tell you a little bit, 1 second. Right here, okay. It's about youth resiliency, and we got Akila Peoples, CEO of Mental Health Research Canada, is going to be our key speaker there, and it's a free event, as I pointed out, and it's going to be, what part of the campus is it going to be at? It's going to be, where is it? Oh, yes, in the A70 near the cafeteria area. So basically, A170. So basically, when you it's at the main part of the campus. It's right towards the security houses.
Okay.
Yeah, right there.
It's the big glass building.
The big glass building, exactly. Mm-hmm. So I'd say it's free for anybody who wish to come and join. Other than we actually bring non-perishable food for local food banks. So that's all we'll ask you for going there. It's a very, very informative event, and I've gone to these events before, and it's all about social change. Talking about childhood sexual abuse, for example, about domestic violence. There's still an awful lot of racism going on. We talk about racial equality, not just towards people coming into the country, but even our own people that are here, we're hearing before us, or the indigenous people of this country, for example, as an example, learning, better ways of communicating with people, and the colleges and universities is a great place to start with this.
Mm-hmm, absolutely.
I think back in my day when I used to go to Parliament Hill and protest, and I was protesting, I remember the last time I protested for anything, and you can call me whatever you want to call me, but the fact is that I still went and I did it, and something I believed in, and fought for something I believed in, which was the cruise missile, which they use today. So, needless to say, I didn't win there, but this is part of social change, as an example, where there's no change if the people don't speak. And this is an example of the people speaking and being heard. It's kind of like when we talk about childhood sexual abuse, about your voice finally being heard. It's the same idea about going out there and expressing what you're feeling and thinking and being heard. And I'm so for that, it's incredible. I would have been a really, really good hippie in the 50s and 60s, I tell you.
Yeah. He didn't win there, but he still got the hippie hair.
Oh, yes.
Sorry.
But anyway, folks, this is a good thing, and it's open to the public, and there's some really, really good stuff going to be said there, and I really recommend it if you're in the Greater Toronto Area and you have the time, come down to Humber College South. By the way, this is put on by the Gatehouse and by Humber College, so and this is all part of the social justice program as well. So, folks, I encourage you to do that. So, I think, folks, I think we're about done for today. We've kind of said our piece, and I'm still here, or we haven't gone anywhere, even though we haven't been here for the last couple of weeks.
Plus, I'm due to facilitate phase two this evening, so I should be leaving shortly.
Yes, you have to head down to the Gatehouse, and we've done this, and so that means now that I won't be doing the program. I won't be down at the house when I have to do that, or I won't be doing it now. But I kind of really wanted to have, and again, Nick, I can't thank you for being part of this today. I thought it was very important that you hear both sides of everything. And who else better than my partner, Nicola, here beside me. So, folks, I'm going to bid you a good evening. And for those who are listening later on, well, I bid you a good evening, good day, good morning, wherever you may be when you're listening to this. So, folks, remember self-care. Take care of yourself. Check out some of these places and things we've been talking about on social media. There's some great help out there to help you. It doesn't cost you a bloody dime. You just got to get on your fingers and instead of talking crap, find some good stuff to help yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Nicola, thank you.
Thank you. And reach out if you need. Never give up.
Try
thank you.
Good night.
Good night.